Excited to be in God's house, excited to be back in our series in lesson 7 of our field training. And so if you have the lesson from last week, it is the same lesson. If you don't have a lesson, if you would lift your hand, we've got some extras back there. You'll be missing out on some blanks, but we can get those to you later. But if you need a lesson this morning, if you lift your hand, Brother Steve, we'll be glad to get you those. And if you are in need of a pen this morning, you would lift your hand. We can get you hooked up that way as well. I will warn you, we made it last week through 2 1/4 pages out of 8. So, but here's what we're not going to do. I'm not going to, oh no, I better hurry. No, this is too important. So if we need to do 3 weeks, that's okay. Now, right? Right? I was talking to Brother Tim about this morning's message, and I've got more to say than I got time for, you know? And there's so many ways we can apply the message this morning. But there's so many things that have to be explained, too. And so Brother Tim and I talked about it, and we thought, here's what we'll do this morning. We'll preach for an hour, and I'll just explain the passage. Then we'll take a 20-minute intermission. The teens will have concessions in the foyer. And then we'll come back, and then I'll apply it for an hour. We figured if you give 2 hours to baseball, which is lame anyway, why not the Word of God? All right. So I think we can do that. We'll pray about it. Okay. And we'll let you know. Maybe not. All right. So, but all of that said, if you would take your Bibles, the Word of God this morning, and do two things: find your spot in Hebrews 2, and leave your finger there. If you have a fancy Bible with ribbons, you can leave one of those there. And then when you find your place in Hebrews 2 and have your spot, then go to Genesis 19. I'm sorry. When you find a place in Genesis, lose your spot, and then go to Exodus. That'd be good. Yes, so Hebrews 2 to begin with. Oh, Brother Josh is like, hey, Pastor, how did you turn the mic on? Good. Hebrews 2 is where we'll have our finger, because we'll read that second. But first we'll read Exodus 19. Whenever you got all that figured out, if you wouldn't mind to stand, we'll read our passages this morning. All right. Good job. No one looks too confused yet. All right. Exodus 19, and look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. I'm going to read that sentence, that phrase again. That the people may hear when I speak with thee. Who all heard the voice of God there? Everybody. Everybody did. Not just Moses. Okay? And believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of, told the words of the people unto the Lord. Okay? Now go to Hebrews 2. So Exodus 19 really is the beginning of the giving of the Old Testament, and really the foundation of the Old Testament. Here in Hebrews 2, we'll see how we receive the New Testament. We look in verse 3 of chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So that so great salvation is a term for the gospel, the New Testament, how we can be saved, that the Messiah came to offer salvation. We can't neglect that, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And so we have confirmation, eyewitness confirmation. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness. So we have man's eyewitness account. We have God's witness account. How did God witness all of that and explain that this is truth? Well, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. If you ever wondered, why doesn't Jesus heal people the way he did when he was here? Can we just admit this? People are not healed today in the same way they were healed when Jesus was around. Has anyone seen anyone raised from the dead today? Has anyone seen somebody who was paralyzed from birth all of a sudden take up their bed and walk? Has anyone ever seen a blind person be put mud on their eyeballs and then they're now not blind? No. That does not happen these days. Now, do miracles still happen these days? Of course they do, but not these kind of miracles. Do healings still happen? Does God heal people? Yes, he does, but primarily through natural means, and he performs miracles in and through even natural means. And God has still shown he's in control that way. But he does not perform miracles like that today. Well, why did he do that then and not today? Does God care less about people now than he did when he was on this earth? No. He was doing that for a purpose, and the purpose was to validate that his message was from the Lord. You see, that was the purpose of those. That's why we don't speak in tongues anymore. That's why we don't do faith healing services. Nobody on planet Earth does actual faith healing services. They do shows and call them that. But that the purpose of those were to confirm his word. And then here's why, and I'll just say this, we'll pray. God has always been interested, when he speaks, he is always interested in being very clear and making sure there is ample evidence, ample verification, ample confirmation that it is in fact his word. God has always been interested in that. And so we'll explain that and we'll pray and get right into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust it. God, thank you that each and every word of this Bible has been confirmed and verified. Verified by your works, true works of God that cannot be denied. Confirmed by witnesses, multitudes of eyewitnesses. And Lord, we can trust it. It's your word. Could you help us have confidence in that, Lord, as we, by the time we're done with our service today, that we would have confidence that this is truly the word of God. We love you. Christ and I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So, we have been talking about the word of God. We talked about faith. Faith is always built on evidence, always. If you believe something by faith, it is very important. What is the foundation of your faith? What is that faith grounded in? By the way, I'll say this. Remember when Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed? Remember that? He was not saying, if you only have a little bit of faith, you can do great things. That wasn't really the point there. The point was this. If you have faith in me, it doesn't matter. You don't need a lot. The question is not how much faith, Jesus says. They were putting faith in their own ability. Jesus was saying, it's not how much faith you have that matters. It is where that faith is grounded that matters. And if you have faith in me, then you can accomplish anything, you see. It's where your faith is grounded in that's important, you see. And so whenever you believe something by faith, there is always a foundation of that faith. And sometimes we make the foundation of our faith somebody else's testimony. We make it what mom and dad believe, or we make it what we have always believed, or we make it that I'm in America, so I believe the Bible, and there's a whole thing. There are a whole lot of things that we can put our faith in. We put our faith in circumstances and in experiences sometimes. We put our faith sometimes in warm, fuzzy feelings that we've got along the way. But none of those are good foundations of faith. Faith has to be built on one thing, and that is the Word of God. And so if that's true, well, then what we need to know then is what we have truly the Word of God. Now, I'm not here to question that, but I am here to give evidence for that. Because God has gone to great lengths to give us evidence that what he has said is his word. And here's the reason. Because there's a lot of people who have claimed to give the Word of God. There's a lot of people who have claimed to have spoken on God's behalf that just really have not. And God knows that, and God knows how confusing it is. And so when God spoke, every time God has spoken, he has made sure to and gone through great lengths to prove that it is truly his word. Okay? And so if we get to page number 3 of our notes, letter B, we've given you, there are a lot of ways we can prove the Bible is the word of God. And so we need to know, how do we know for sure? What's the evidence? What's the substance? What's the evidence that our faith is built upon that this is truly the word of God? And if we have evidence and we have good reason to place our faith in the fact that the Bible is the word of God, then we can take anything the Bible says by faith, you see? And even if the Bible doesn't make sense to us, we're not called to understand everything the Bible has said. We're not called to know why God does what he does. We're not called to comprehend how that God can be a triune being. We're not called to comprehend how that Jesus can be both man and God at the same time. We're not called to comprehend how he can use things like a little girl and cancer for his glory. We're not called to understand all of that stuff, but we are called to, by faith, believe it's true. Why? Because the Bible said so. You see? And so our faith is not built on evidence and reason, and God does not... Our faith is always built on evidence and reason, but our faith is not built on God explaining to us why he does what he does. God doesn't have to convince us that he's right. He just has to convince us that this is truly what he said. You see? And then we put faith that he is right, always. Does that make sense? That's how faith works. And so that means we need to have faith. We have to have good evidence that this is truly the word of God. And there are a lot of ways we can do that. Last time we talked about how the Bible is written over a span of at least 1,500 years by 40 different authors on 3 different continents. There were people from different societies, all those differences, and there's no contradictions, right? And that there's no book like it on planet Earth. There's no book that's done that. Now, is that enough to prove it's the word of God? Not really, but it's something to consider, isn't it? You definitely need to consider that. We can look at fulfillment of prophecy, that things that prophets have said hundreds and maybe even thousands of years before they took place, and it took place exactly how it was given. That is proof. And God has shown humanity, I exist outside of time, and I know the future. And let me tell these people what will happen, because I've already been there. You see. We can look at archaeological digs that validate the accounts of Scripture and things that man have laughed at the Bible for centuries because there's accounts in the Bible that they think archaeologically cannot be true, but then they dig and find it is true. Oftentimes people will look for civilizations because the Bible says it's there and there's no other reason for them to think that there'd be a civilization in that area, but the Bible said it and they have found civilizations in those areas based upon what the Bible has said. Now again, does that prove that it's the word of God itself? Not necessarily, but it's definitely something that would make us consider it, you see. And I will say, if for some reason they didn't line up, that'd be a problem, right? Scientific discoveries that the Bible has made claims to before they were truly discovered. Those things have taken place. We explained all of that. And there's lots of ways we can do that. But for today, I told you last time, I believe the Bible has laid out a case for itself. And I told you last time, I've heard along the way that, you know, people say you don't have to prove the Bible, you just have to believe it. And I was like, is that true? Because I know people have said that about the existence of God. But I heard it this week in preparing for messages. Some guy said, you know, you don't have the Bible. He said, the Bible's like a lion. The Bible can defend itself. And so you don't have to defend the Bible. You just preach the Bible, and everyone will know. Well, I get it, and there's a level of truth to that. But the Bible has given us. But God does not want us to just believe it just because it's powerful. There's a lot of messages out there that sound moving and sound powerful that are not true. And this guy who said it was then going on to preach something that wasn't true. Well, but it was so powerful and moving. That doesn't mean it's true. And God has gone to great lengths to prove that what we have in our hand, whether we think it's... Here's the other thing about that. You can preach the Bible straight and true, and it can come off as boring to our world because they don't want it. And that doesn't mean it's not true. These are not logical evidences, you see. The Bible has given us reason to believe it's the Word of God. Not just that it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, although that's true. But, you know, if Joseph Smith said, this is the Word of God, well, that doesn't prove it's true either. You see, there has to be a grounding for us to believe this. And it's right here. Letter C. Let's look at when God first gave man his written word. That's the point. And if you go to Exodus 19, we'll be there in that area. If you're already there, great. If not, find your spot, and we'll spend some time there. So Exodus 20 maybe sounds familiar to most of us, because that's when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Remember that? Mount Sinai? He gave him those tablets, and we treasure them all the way until today. And there's a reason for that, because God said, I'm going to do something so powerful and so undeniable as evidence of my word being spoken, that they will believe me forever. And still today, we believe that God spoke to Moses on the mount. You see. But that's the Ten Commandments right there, Exodus 20. But you might not realize this part. It wasn't just, that's the blank, it wasn't just the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. He didn't spend all that time just getting the Ten Commandments. He got the law of Moses up there. Look at Exodus 24:12. It's in our notes. You can turn there in your Bible if you'd like, but it's right here in our notes. Exodus 24:12, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, Ten Commandments, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. So here on Mount Sinai at this moment, that's where God gave mankind the first written down word of God. Now you can make the case that maybe Job was written before this, but here's what's happened in the context is God has gone to his people in Egypt, freed them from bondage, brought them out of Egypt, and up until that point, there's no evidence that they had the book of Job there in Egypt. They may have, but for the most part, what they had was oral tradition, oral word of God, passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, and they had the word of God that way. But now is when God is going to give officially his written down scripture word of God. This is the first time these men, this nation would have had scripture, and really humanity at large would have scripture. If you remember in Revelation, remember we talked about the altar, remember that? How that the saints were under the altar. And remember we told you that, we were just going to do 3 weeks on this, okay? Remember how we told you that there was an altar in heaven, and that the altar in heaven is the true tabernacle, the true temple, is part of that true temple in heaven? Remember how Jesus' throne room is a temple? And so that's the heavenly temple, the altar being one of the things in the temple. And we told you that the temple on earth is meant to be a replica, the representation of the temple in heaven. Do you remember all of that if you're here on Wednesday? Okay. Do you remember the verse we read? I don't have it on the top of my head, but I think it was in Hebrews that Moses was very sure to hear what God told him on the mount. And if you read through Exodus, all of the naps and the things and all of the crazy measurements and descriptions of the temple seem so precise, and you might be wondering, why? What's the point of all this? Why make it exactly like this? Here's why. Because it was to be a replica of the true temple in heaven. But here's the point for right now. When did God give Moses all that? He said, on the mount. That's part of the law of Moses. God didn't just give the Ten Commandments up there. He spent a long time up there, 40 days up there. By the way, it's interesting, 40 days on the mountain, and how long was Jesus tempted in the wilderness? For 40 days. God has given his word, you see. And so Moses was up there on the mount, and he received the law of Moses up there. Now, let's read on our notes. Verse number 2 there, underneath Exodus 24:12. Here on Mount Sinai is where God gave mankind the first written down word of God. He gave us the law of Moses. This was the first scripture, that's the blank. This was the first scripture. Remember, scripture means written down, scribed, written down word of God. We have the revelation of God from creation. That's general revelation. God has shown mankind who he is through that. And God has spoken throughout the centuries through dreams. If you follow the life of Joseph, there's dreams and visions and all of that. But what we have today is scripture, you see, scripture. And this was the first of it. Now, before he did that, before he gave Moses the law of Moses, notice what God told Moses in Exodus 19:9. And it's our verse we read. We'll read it again. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So God, here's what happened right there. God told Moses that when he comes to give the mankind the law, when he comes to give his word, he was going to come in a thick cloud. Why? So that all of Israel could what? See it. That's a blank. God wanted to make sure that those million Jews, if you go to Numbers, you'll find out there's a million plus Jews there. And God wanted to make sure all million of those people saw the cloud on the mountain. He wanted to make sure of that. And then God wanted to make sure that the people of Israel are close enough to hear. That's the blank. To hear. That's what it says, right? That the people may hear. Thick cloud is so they can see. And then he wants to also make sure they're close enough to hear. That's the blank. When God spoke to Moses. And he did all of this. Why? So that the people would believe thee forever. Are you seeing that? Here's the point. God didn't just take Moses all by himself into the mountain and have a private conversation. That's the blank. This wasn't just a conversation between God and Moses. God made sure that there were a million plus eyewitnesses. That's the blank. Eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses, all by the way, also ear witnesses, if we could put it that way. As all of Israel heard God speak to Moses. And so for the rest of time, for the rest of these people's lifetime, a million people can say, I can confirm God spoke to Moses. A million people. And so when the kids, the next generation come, and they did, how do we know this is the law, this law of Moses is God's word? Well, we're not just trusting Moses. I can confirm. Us million people can confirm God spoke to Moses, right? And then that's something they can trust and put their faith in. And for generation after generation after generation, they can point back to those million people as eyewitnesses. Are you seeing that? And that lasted forever. Here's the thing. God never asked Israel to trust and believe Moses. They didn't just say, well, Moses said so. That's not what they said. When God spake at Mount Sinai, again, I already asked you, but who heard the voice of God? All of them. All of them. Every one of them. They all heard God's voice. And why did God want his voice to be heard by the people? He tells us. It was so that the people would believe Moses forever. Believe what about Moses? That God spoke to him. You see? So God made sure his word was, here's a blank, confirmed. Confirmed by a million eyewitnesses. And then, God made a big show of it, didn't he? He could have just spoke and they could have heard, but he made a big show of all of this. And he showed up in a thick cloud. Look at verses 16 through 20 of Exodus 19. We'll read all that, and we'll see the show that God put on here. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. Why? So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. They all knew God was here. You see? And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. The people met with God, not just Moses, you see. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked. Remember we talked about the earthquake, God's getting people's attention? Quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Can you see that? Can you imagine being Israelites there? This is before Moses even went up there. All this is happening. Thunder, lightning, smoke, earthquake, loud trumpet voice. And then Moses goes up. Can you, imagine when Moses comes down, they're like, but did God really speak to you? I don't think so. God made it very clear. No one had to trust Moses. Oh, here it is. Now, how many Israelites saw that and said, I wonder, was that really the voice of God? Or was it my voice? How do I know the difference between my voice and God's voice? No, God's voice you know. Okay? You don't have to wonder. Okay? Or was it maybe even the devil's voice? Whose voice was it? No, they knew, didn't they? It's the voice of God. When God speaks, He makes it very clear. That's the blank. Always. God is not the author of confusion. God does not speak in riddles and hot and cold games. Oh, you're hotter. No, you're colder. Keep working at it. You'll find it. No, that's not how God works, is it? No, God is very clear. Number four, God confirmed His word. He said that. That's the blank. He confirmed His word through 1 million eyewitnesses and verified it through thunders and lightnings and thick cloud and the smoke of a voice of a trumpet. You see that? Verified by God, confirmed by witnesses. This is how we got the word of God. Number five, God didn't want there to be any doubt. He didn't want there to be any doubt in their mind that this was the voice of God. Again, I said, I'm being abundantly clear on purpose here. But God didn't want them to just believe Moses. After that experience, there were no Israelites who were just believing Moses. No, they believed God. And they believed that God gave Moses His word, and Moses gave them God's word, not the word of Moses only. They were believing the word of God that was verified by God, that's the blank, and confirmed by eyewitnesses. And I tell you today that we are not trusting Paul and Moses and Samuel and Elijah and on it goes. We're not trusting those men, those 40 authors. We're not trusting them. We're trusting that God spoke through them. And we have reason to believe that. You see? And by the way, number four, everything else the Old Testament said is rooted, that's the blank, rooted in the law of God given on Mount Sinai. And really, the rest of the Bible is built on the law of God given to Moses. Everything from the Torahs, first five books, everything past that, all the prophets, all the Psalms, the Proverbs, all of that, they find their foundation in the law of Moses. Whenever the Psalm says, the law of the Lord is perfect, they're talking about specifically that. And they're putting all of their trust, all of their faith in what was given from God to man, confirmed by a million eyewitnesses. You see that? How are we doing? And He did that. Oh, wait, where are we at? Okay, and really, the rest of the Bible is built on the law of God. Because Jesus said, I have come not to, what did He say? I didn't come to tear down the law, or what did He say? Was that the word tear down or destroy the law? I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And everything Jesus said, even, is built on that foundation that was given by signs and wonders on the mountain and confirmed by a million eyewitnesses. Yeah. And guess how many people on planet Earth today believe that God spoke to Moses? Remember God said that people will believe them forever? Out of about 8 billion, that's the blank, 8 billion people on our planet, more than 5 billion people believe that God spoke to Moses on that mountain. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? And here's why. When God spoke to mankind, He made sure that He did it in such a way that there would be unmistakable evidence that could be confirmed and verified. Confirmed by eyewitnesses of man, verified by God Himself. That's the Word of God. He did it in such a way that the people would believe it forever. And here we are, 2,500 years, that's the blank, 2,500 years later, and most of the world still believes that God spoke to Moses on the mountain. The question is if they believe other things too that are not built on that foundation. Christians believe that God spoke to Moses, obviously. Jews believe that God spoke to Moses. And Muslims believe that God spoke to Moses. That's more than half of our world believes that. Why? Because this is the confirmed and verified word of God, by the way, that you can build your life upon it. You can build your life on it. I want to skip, all right? Now, we'll come back. We're going to go to letter D. But here, let me just tell you for today, Cliff Notes version. Same thing happened with Jesus. When Jesus came, he brought a New Testament, didn't he? Now, I want to stop and say this. God has never told Israel, after Malachi, word of God's over. He never said that to them. And so it's not like Jesus is contradicting anything. He comes and he adds to, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But Jesus said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Isn't that what he said? And so he's giving new revelation. When he did it, he made sure that he did signs and wonders. God himself in the flesh never asked humanity just to believe him. He never did that. He never just said, here I am. Don't you know who I am? I'm God. Believe me. He never said that. He never even asked them to. He just said it, and then he healed somebody, didn't he? He just said it, and then he cast out a demon. He just said it, and he performed some kind of miracle. And every time he said something, he validated it, didn't he? He verified it through signs and wonders. And he did it in front of multitudes, didn't he? Multitudes followed him. His 12 were the primary eyewitnesses, right? But multitudes saw that. And they could confirm, yeah, Jesus said that. Everything Matthew wrote there on the Sermon on the Mount, I can confirm. He said that. And I saw him heal that guy. You see it? Confirmed by man, verified by God. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just rise from the dead and go straight to heaven. He could have done that. He didn't. Why? He wanted to make sure there was ample evidence to prove that he did that. And so he revealed himself to different people along the way on purpose and made sure there were 500 people plus that saw him resurrected from the dead, because he wanted to make sure there was ample evidence, that there is eyewitness testimony that he truly did rise from the dead. God never asks us just to believe somebody, even God himself who became a man. He never just says, believe me. He always confirms his word, doesn't he? And he always gives plenty of reason to believe it. Are you seeing this? We'll cover that more next week. But here's what I want us to do. Go all the way toward the end, okay? Not toward the end, let's see. Number 4, page 6. I want us to see this. And then next week we'll finish up. Number 4 says this, no other book has this. No other book. That's the blank. No other book has confirmation and verification like the Bible. The Book of Mormon is the writings of Joseph Smith. That's the blank. Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith said this, God has appeared to me. He came to people and said that. He claimed that the angel Moroni, that's the blank. If you don't know how to spell it, it's moron with an I at the end. Just helping you spell it, that's all. Moroni. The angel Moroni showed up. And he showed him where to find these golden tablets. This was a private conversation between him and Moroni, angel. Here's where the tablets are. And these tablets are some kind of hieroglyphics that nobody can understand. And Joseph Smith says, I can't even understand them. But luckily, the angel Moroni, he also had, gave him these tools called the Urim and the Thummim. And he gave him also a seer stone so he could translate the golden tablets. And here's what churchofjesuschrist.org says about the seer stone. The process using the seer stone starts with Joseph placing in it his hat. And so he puts the stone in the hat. And he would then put his face into the hat in order to block out the light. And he would read aloud the English words. So you have this tablet with this language that nobody knows on planet Earth. Nobody knows. Some kind of angelic language tablet. Puts it in a hat. Puts the seer stone in the hat. Sticks his face in the hat, and he sees English words. And then he says the English words, and he writes them down, you see. Yeah. And a scribe would then write down every word he blurts out, and he translated the golden tablets, and now we have the Book of Mormon. And over 14 million people believe that God spoke to Joseph Smith. But there is not a single confirmation anywhere that any of this happened that testifies any of that. And there were no signs or wonders from God that verified this was a word from God. None of that. No confirmation. No verification. They were just simply trusting and following that man that he heard from God. You seen that? It's not going to work, is it? Seventh-day Adventists, very similar. Ellen G. White, that's the blank, Ellen G. White claims she had a supernatural dream from Jesus and said, God spoke to me. I had a dream. God spoke to me. And another 14 or 15 million people around the world believe that God spoke to her. No confirmation, no verification that God spoke to her. They just believe her. They just believe her. Islam, it's based on the writings of one man, Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, Muhammad. Muhammad claims he went to a cave on Mount Hira, and the angel Gabriel, at least that's a real angel, appeared to him. And Gabriel spoke to Muhammad, and he wrote it down. So effectively, here's what happened. He says, guys, guess what? You wouldn't believe it, but God spoke to me, and I've written it down. And here it is. It's the Quran. It's the Word of God, and you must follow it. And again, almost 2 billion people around the world are following one man. No verification, no confirmation that God actually spoke to Muhammad, and they just believe him. And they're willing to blow themselves up on that behalf. You seeing this? You seeing how faith alone is not enough? They all have faith. They believe by faith that God spoke to Muhammad. And they believe that they're going to have a place in heaven if they blow themselves up and hurt others. Okay, maybe not all Muslims believe that, but that's definitely what Muhammad taught. And they believe that by faith. You just got to believe. No. You need to know why you believe. And every time God speaks, he always confirms and validates. Always. Always. If there's no confirmation and there's no validation, be leery whether or not it's truly from God. And run everything through the Word of God. Next week this is letter D, okay? Letter D. And all of these people, all of them, claim that they have heard from God. And they all contradict each other. Remember how we said that the Bible has 40 different authors and there's no contradictions? You know why? Because God doesn't contradict himself. And it cannot be true that God spoke to Moses and to Joseph Smith and to Muhammad and to Ellen G. White. It cannot be because they all totally contradict each other. God is not like that. God is not confusing that way. God does not contradict himself. They can't all be right. And so how can we know for sure? What do you do with that? And by the way, these aren't the only people who claim to have spoken for God. There are Christians out there who say, God spoke to me, and he told me to tell you. Hold on. Let's make sure. Here's what we need to do. We need to go back. Listen, if we want to know what God has said, we need to go back to what has been confirmed and verified by a million eyewitnesses plus the multitudes of Israel and see if it actually lines up. And listen, Someone might be saying something is biblical. Someone might be saying God is working in my heart. But if someone says, God spoke to me, let's see what the Bible says. God has spoken. And if you want to know God, you can get to know him through his word. If you want to know what God has said, you need to know the word of God. And make it your life's goal to know this book. And you'll be shocked to know, as you learn this book, how clear things become. And how you know, as you're living the life that God has you living, that you'll know what God wants from you. And he didn't even have to show up in a vision. And he didn't even have to stand on your head and spin 3 times and hum and get that. No, you just know what the Bible says. And you ask God to help you understand the Word of God. And that's what his Holy Spirit is for, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is not there to give more revelation from God. The Holy Spirit is there to illuminate what has been said, the Word of God. And he will take the Word of God and he will show you how it applies to your life. But God has already spoken, hasn't he? And if you want to know what God has said,
you go to His Word. His Word that has been verified and confirmed. We'll finish this one up next week. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you we can trust it. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what you've said. We can know what you've said. I do pray that you help us to know your Word. Help us to have understanding of your Word. Help us, God, to have wisdom so that when we make choices, we can make them in alignment with what you have spoken. And that we can live in your will, which, as your Word has said, your will is sanctification. Your will is that we follow your Word. Help us to do that and stay in your will and watch as you guide and direct our life. We love you. Pray that you bless the services to come. Christ and I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be dismissed. Thank you.